hope the five-minute foundations are beneficial for you over a period of time. You should be anticipating where we're going. I think this is our third time around, and I don't know how many times we're going to do it, but this is good. So a lot of the five-minute foundations that we look at, it's information, and that information is to bring faith out of us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we talk about salvation and all that. It's to root us in faith. Last week, Judy talked about the importance of the Bible, and so that was something not just to know, but something to do. There was a discipline that was there. And today we're going to look at spending personal time with God. Sometimes we call this personal devotions or our devotional time. It's spending time with God. Ephesians 1:17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. So however much we know the Lord now, we can know Him better. And how do we do that? God desires a personal relationship with each one of His children. As a matter of fact, if you read through the Bible, you will see so many times when Jesus refers to knowing someone. It's not, did they go to church? It wasn't, did they go through catechism? Did they go to their baptism or whatever it might be? He says, I want to know you. This is eternal life, that you would know the only true God and Jesus Christ the Son. So God wants to have this personal relationship with us, and He wants us to know Him. That's His desire. It ought to be ours as well. But that requires, just like with anyone, if you're going to have a good relationship with them, you need to spend time with them. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like if Judy and I, we never talked, we never said anything to each other. It probably wouldn't be a very strong relationship. We need to spend time with God, just like we need to spend time with other people if we're going to get to know them and if we're going to have a good friendship with them. So it requires something of us. Sometimes we call this devotions or devotional time. Call it whatever you want to call it. Just call it time with God. And for myself, you can do it any time. Matter of fact, you can do it multiple times every day. But for me, it's morning is the best. Because if I don't do it in the morning, I say, well, I'll get to it later. And guess what? The day comes and goes, and it never happened. And so, and besides, it's good to hear what He has to say to me in the first thing in the morning. Seems I have the whole day ahead of me. So He can tell me to watch out for something or be prepared for something or just give me some words. So devotions or this time with God are important because it brings us spiritual food. We just can feed on this relationship. It gives us strength. When we hear from God, it just strengthens us, especially if we're facing something, maybe a difficult thing at work or we're in your family. You know you're going to, strength can come at that time. Maturity, the more we know Him, the more we become like Him. That's spiritual maturity. It gives us victory. Sometimes people say, I just don't have any victory. But if you talk to Him, you find out they're not spending any time with the Lord. And so there's no shortcuts to this. You want victory, spend time with God. It brings us joy. It's a good thing. It's good to spend time. And it doesn't happen all the time, but often you just sense the presence of God come. And you don't even have to say anything at that point. You just sit there, and you're in the presence of the Lord. What a joyful thing to be. So there are some basic components that we need to. We need the Word. We need worship or prayer. There's this ACTS model, and it's just something to help you remember. We start with adoration. Sometimes we jump right into, Lord, I really need this, and I got to have that, and deal with this person in this situation, and all of that. But Jesus said, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we begin by praising the Lord. Adoration, bowing our hearts before Him. Sometimes we come and we're aware, and this can backfire on the devil, but he loves to come and tell you why you are not worthy to be in the presence of God. So when he says that, don't argue with him. Just go to God and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Just forgive me. Wash me clean. Let's go forward. So confession. Then there's thanksgiving. We need to have thankful hearts. Sometimes we have complaining hearts. We don't pray, we complain. We have to have thankful hearts. Lord, we're thankful for all you've done for us. You've been faithful all the years. And then finally, supplication, acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And here's where you can ask for yourself, for your family, for others, people in need, and you just bring that before Him. In everything, in word, in worship, in prayer, have a listening ear to God because He wants to speak to you. One of the questions that Christians like to ask is, well, how long do I have to pray? No, let's just change the question. How long should I pray? Well, you should pray until you're done. Okay? You should pray until you're done. Sometimes there's time constraints. Let me put one other thing here. When I want to get with the Lord, immediately I start thinking about all of the things I've got to do. This has got to happen, and that's got to, and before you know it, I'm not praying at all. I'm thinking about. So I have a pad. When something comes to my mind, I just jot it down and I move on. And when I'm done, I come back and I can do all those things. So we keep our mind focused on Him. Your time with the Lord is critical. It's absolutely critical. You should do it every day and see what God does in your life.
Amen. Would you stand with us one more time? We're trusting in God. If you're trusting, you may be seated. And I don't think I'm on. You can hear me, but I don't know if they can hear me. All right. Oh, there, yeah, I really am. Okay, so I want to encourage you. I never want to breeze past the portion of our service where we bring up prayer requests. I want to encourage you on two fronts. Number one, when we're together and we pray about things in Jesus' name, there's a mighty power there. There's a mighty power when the body of Christ is together and we pray and we believe in His name. But then, take those things with you and pray over them. During the week, we have a few people with some needs. Tony Piangatelli. Rita's not here today with us. Tony took a tumble down the stairs. And he had to go to the hospital. He broke a few ribs. Praise God, he didn't break a hip. He didn't break an arm or a leg. He didn't break his neck. That was all I could say when Judy told me about it this morning. But he does have some broken ribs. He's going to be in the hospital for a couple of days. Please remember to pray for him and for Rita. And especially pray for Tony. Mobility for him is a real issue these days. Continue to please to pray for Joe Spinelli. I've only gotten to see him once. I didn't get back in to see him, but I'm assuming he's still at the Wellsville Manor. Broken hip. Here one Sunday, and then Tuesday he falls down and breaks his hip. So please continue to pray for him, for his recovery. We want to lift up Denise Wasdorf today. She's not feeling well. She got the stomach stuff the other day. Curtis Corky is not with us. He came home from Tennessee to visit his new grandbaby and promptly got home and got a whopping flu or cold or something. But he's not well either. And Roxanne mentioned to me also, little boy where she lives, Jackson Wallace. He's just a two-year-old guy, but his face is swelling up. He's got some kind of abscess or something happening in his face. Poor little guy. He's only two. He doesn't understand what's going on. His face is swollen, and it's starting to spread to the other side. And we want to pray and ask God to touch him and help him. Father, we lift up these needs to you, Father, knowing that nothing is impossible for you. God, we pray for Tony, that you would you would heal those ribs up, Lord, that you would restore some of this mobility, Father, that he's struggling with. God, in the name of Jesus, and strengthen and heal his body. Be with Rita, Father. Encourage her. Help them both, Father, as they overcome this fall. Bless them. Father, we pray for Joe, that you would help him. God, this break in his hip, I pray that those bones would knit properly, that he would be able to regain his mobility again, Lord. That you would bless that man. I thank you for his cheerful, outgoing spirit, his encouraging heart. I pray that you would bless he and Lois, Lord, that you would be with them. Your hand would be on them to bless them, Lord. We pray for our sister Denise, Lord, and we pray that you would touch her body, deliver her of this sickness, Lord, and that you would touch all of the achy, painful joints in our sister's body, Lord, and just deliver her from pain and inflammation, and deliver her from this stomach virus. Deliver Curtis, Father. We pray that you would help him. Touch his body, Lord. Deliver him from this cold or flu, whatever it is that he's gotten. Strengthen him. Give him grace, Lord, so that he can get back to what is really important in his life. And I know, first of all, that's serving you. And, Lord, being able to work with his businesses, help him, cover him and Randy at this time. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. Father, we thank you. We can trust in you. We can hang on to you when everything else is flying loose. You never move. You're faithful. You are faithful. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory to his name. I just love the 5-minute foundation today. Are you spending personal time with God? Are you doing it? It's just so easy to let life get in the way. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Remember, Moses' face shone. Why? Because he went in and out of the presence of God. Into the tent and out. Into the tent and out. And when you do that, you're gonna shine. You're going to get the glory of God on you. You might not be able to see it physically, but it's there. It's there. Trust him. Trust. We had what I thought was an absolutely lovely service yesterday honoring Greg Rushmore. Sherry, it was a blessing. Thank you. It was an honor that you asked me to be part of that. And we said goodbye to Sherry's brother again yesterday. And the blessing, lots of unsaved people came to that funeral. Oh, glory to God, and they got to hear the gospel. It was wonderful. Pray, please pray over that seed. Pray over it. You know, when we face the end of someone's life, it reminds us that we are going to face the end of our own life. And what an open door. So I want to pray and believe God that that seed will bear some fruit in the lives of the people that were there. There was one precious man, Pete, flew all the way from Colorado, one of his friends, flew in, came down, and that man was crying when he got in his car and left. Yeah, he was grieving, but he was also touched. Glory to God. Believe in God to get him. Adam, you can open up that PowerPoint. To all the mothers today, happy Mother's Day. You're not my mother, but your mother. And I so appreciate my mom. I'm glad. I so appreciate. My kids always laugh. They say, "Mom, I really appreciate you, because I wouldn't be here." But you know, moms are a wonderful thing. You know, when God created Eve, he created something special. And moms, you are wonderful. So we so appreciate you. And it doesn't tie in directly with what I'm sharing today, but notice that the title of my message, "I Am Fearfully and Wonderfully Made." Well, how did that happen? Thanks, Mom. I mean, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, the Creator. But thanks, Mom, to that too. Do you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? You are fearfully and wonderfully. Do you know that? You are. The Lord wants to confirm that to you today, because sometimes you feel overlooked. Sometimes you feel like God has just passed you right by. Like, does God even notice me? God has seen you, and you are precious in His sight. You are precious in His sight. He has not forgotten you. He has not passed over you. And He's heard your prayers and the cries of your heart. He's heard them. Glory to His name. Ooh. Woo! Wow. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. You know, I love the Scriptures, and I've just got so many Scriptures today, I'm probably going to whip through them. But I love the Word of God. And that's where the life comes, that's where the truth comes. So if I use lots and lots of Scriptures, please just put up with me. I love the Word of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth itself and every creature that crawls upon it." So God made man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Do you know one interesting thing? You look like God. Some of you look in the mirror and you're like, "Well, I hope God doesn't look like me." You look like God. We're made in His image. God has hands. The Scripture talks about it as the hand of God. His feet. His face. We're made. We look like God. Isn't that cool? When you think about it, we look like Him. And better yet, Genesis 2, 19 and 20, "And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field." And every bird of the air. "And He brought them to the man to see what he would name each one. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." The man, Adam, gave names to all of the livestock, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. Adam was an amazing person. He was amazing. He must have been brilliant. God, now, I just think this is such a fun scripture, because God brought all the animals to him and said, "Just watch to see what he called them." And Adam named, can you imagine? It must have been fun for God to listen to Adam. But Adam named every single animal. All the livestock, all the birds of the air, all the beasts of the field. And we are implied that he then remembered all their names. Adam must have been brilliant. He must have had an intellect that first created man. Unbelievable. And sin had not yet entered the world. Absolutely incredible. And you remember in that previous... Oh, I didn't put it up there. God designed man with abilities. He told them, "I want you to govern the earth, to rule over it, to rule over the beasts of the field, to tend the world, to bring order out of it." And so God gave people giftings and abilities. He instilled those in them. And we see that even in the beginning from Adam, what a brilliant person he must have been. And then came Eve, the perfect companion for Adam. And with that, the ability to reproduce. Incredible. Children. Just an incredible thing that God did. How can we do that? You know what? Elon Musk can make a robot, but he can't make a robot that's ever going to have a baby. I'm sorry. Some little robot baby? I don't think so. That is God. Absolutely incredible. The creation. And then in Genesis 4:2, we meet Cain and Abel. And all of a sudden, we see there starts to come forth a division of abilities. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Abel was a keeper of the sheep while Cain was a tiller of the soil. So we have Abel, who was now involved in livestock and animal husbandry, and Cain, who was involved in agriculture. And apparently they were very good at it. And then if we go on to verse 20, we go on to some of the other descendants of Cain. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and raise livestock. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute, the first musician, the first person that probably created instruments and played on them. And Zillah gave birth to Tubal-Cain, a forger of every implement of bronze and iron. Somebody, Tubal-Cain, gifted in metalworking. And so society began to grow. Culture was established, all based on God's wonderful plan and creation and his gifting to each person, which was a little different than the other person, but equally precious and wonderful. And some in society went in a more godly direction, and others went away from God. The line of Adam's son Seth began to actually seek God. The rest went on to the family and lineage of Cain went off into their own devices. Genesis 4, 26, we see at that time men began to call upon the name of the Lord. People at that time began to worship God. And so society went. People gifted in many different ways, using their gifts either for good or for evil. And so it went. And we see that so often, if we want to learn truth, we take it back to Genesis and see where it started. But remember that the first one before sin was that wonderful creation of Adam. Guess who you come from? You came from Adam. You came from Eve. You are also created in his image. Psalm 8, 3 through 5, when I behold your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You know, you look at the creation, the psalmist, he's saying, I look up at the sky, I see the stars, I look at the beautiful world, the mountains, all the things. What? Who am I? This little person. But then he said, you made him just a little lower than the angels. That word, the angels, is the Hebrew word Elohim. And it could be translated the angels, or it could be translated God. God made you just a little lower than himself. It doesn't mean that we're some incredible, wonderful thing in ourselves, but we're made in the image of God. We are an amazing, incredible thing, made in the image of God, made a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. And this is also prophetic. It goes on of Jesus, but this is you and I, part of the creation. Psalm 139, you alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. Thank you, mothers. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your works are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of this. Have you thought about the creation of people? Just think about the complexity of your hand. All you have to do, with one thought, it happens. I'm sitting at the piano sometimes, and I'm like, how can I sit at the piano, and all 10 of my fingers are doing different things, and my brain is just telling it to, how does this happen? I watch people just do amazing things. And it's all because of creation. God's given you these two little color cameras right here to see the beautiful, boy, can you see it today? You get to see the beautiful blue sky, the green spring. What God has given, the ability to walk, run, think, create, speak. You are a masterpiece. I want to tell you today, you are a masterpiece. Pastor Dave, why are you puffing us up like this? So how come, if we're a masterpiece, why is it that we look in the mirror and we don't see a masterpiece? When I look in the mirror, I'm sorry, I don't think, wow, Dave, you're a masterpiece. Some days I think, wow, Dave, you're a piece of work. Because instead of looking at God and recognizing His incredible creation, we see a couple things. We see the ravages of sin. You know, the sin that's had a place in our life. But we also look at each other and compare ourselves to everybody else instead of accepting how God has created us. We get used to looking at everybody else. We compare ourselves to everybody else. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. It's never wise when you compare yourself to other people. If you compare yourself to somebody else, you're going to either feel really a lot better or really like one or the other. It's just the way it is. It's unwise and it's foolish. And herein lies the problem that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 12. For the body does not consist of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. I think this is one of the funniest scriptures I've ever read. I just, till as I think of it, my brain, I just imagine having a foot for a hand, you know, having an ear for an eye, you know, it's ridiculous. Because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the members of the body, every one of them, according to His design. So God created you with a purpose in mind. He created you specifically with a purpose in mind. But if you stop looking at God and start comparing yourselves to other people, you're going to lose your focus and become distracted or discouraged. It happens. There's always going to be somebody faster than you, smarter than you, more handsome or beautiful, stronger, talented, etc., etc. You know, I remember sitting, playing once, I was practicing this just beastly difficult piece. It was a Chopin ballade, and it's just all up here, down 90 miles an hour, all over the keyboard, and I'm struggling to learn it, and I'm listening to somebody, trying to listen to somebody play it on a video, so I can kind of learn from it, and then I'm listening to it thinking, this guy sounds like he's playing this, and he's not even working for it. And I realized, you know, there's probably about a million people in the world that play the piano way better than I do. Why do I even bother? You know why I bother? Because I can. And it doesn't matter if somebody else plays better than me. If God's put that in you, then do it. And it doesn't matter if other people play better than you. It doesn't matter if other people can do something better than you. Do what God's given you to do. Woo! God made us and gifted us in so many ways, and it doesn't matter if you're the best. It just matters that you're you. the you that God made you. One of my sons used to think of himself. He had a self-image problem. He didn't think he was smart. He didn't think he was talented. He didn't think he was strong. He just thought he was terrible. That kid could look at something and he would just know how to put it together. He knew how to fix stuff. One Christmas, we're sitting on the floor. Two of my boys got the exact same gift. So I'm sitting on the floor helping my one son. We're reading the directions and we're putting the first pieces together. And I look over and my other son is already playing with the thing. He's done. And he didn't even open the book. We were building a picnic table in the back, and I was having trouble getting the geometry right in these legs. How am I going to cut this? And he's like, "Dad, just this." And I'm like, "Oh, I see." He could just see it. But he didn't feel like he had any ability. Every one of us is created with abilities, gifts, and some of them are more obvious. Some of them are less obvious, but they're all malleable. All of them. Matthew 25, I'm not going to go through it. This looks like a lot of, here we go. But you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a member of it. I'm not sure why I put that up there, but that's a good one. Matthew 25:14. We're not going to go through this whole scripture, but Jesus tells a parable. For it is just like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. Then he went off on his journey. Now, he comes back, and he takes stock of them. And the one that had 5 gained 5 more. He said, "Great, you're awesome. Here's your reward." The one that had 2 earned 2 more. And God never said, "Oh, wait, but the first guy, he had 5. You only have 2. No, he said, "Great, good job, awesome." So the one that had just 1, the guy said, "Well, I was scared and I didn't know what to do, so I really didn't do anything. Here you go." And God was not really happy with that person. So the lesson here, first of all, is that the number of talents is immaterial. How many talents he gave him, that wasn't the issue. Some people got a little more, some people got a little less. That doesn't matter. What mattered was what they did with what they'd been given. What they did with it. 2 of them took it and went for it and brought back even more. One of them was afraid and just kind of hid it. "I'm scared of you. You're a hard guy. I don't want to lose this." Oh boy. It had everything to do with what they did with what they had. Everything. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Number one, you're God's handiwork. You are a masterpiece. Don't ever doubt that. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for you. God has good works already prepared for you to do. That means your life has a purpose. You have a divine purpose that God wants to use you for. Isn't it amazing? Wow. And He creates us, He gives us gifts, He prepares works for us. We could talk about spiritual gifts. If you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have all of those distinctly supernatural gifts: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the crux of it, verse 11, says, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, who apportions them to" who? "To each one. Each one as he determines." That means God wants to use you in spiritual gifts. I'm going to step out a little bit on a limb this morning for just a minute. During worship today, sometimes God uses me in the prophetic. And I had a sense that God was not going to use me in the prophetic, but there was some people out there, and you had a prophetic word this morning. I want to exhort you, if God gives you something, take a step out in faith and speak it out when we have a minute in worship. Do you know what it's going to do for the hearts of the people in the body? Open it up, let it out. But what if I'm wrong? What if you don't say it perfectly? Oh, well. Well, Pastor Dave wouldn't have said, you're not. You're you. God wants to use you. Let it out. I had just such a sense that somebody had a prophetic word today. I'm not chastising you. I'm encouraging you. Let it loose. Speak it out. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit who apportions them to everyone as He determines. Romans 12:6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If one gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, encourage. If it's giving, give. If it's having leadership, lead. If it's mercy, show mercy. You know, Nike really got it right. They have a slogan, just do it. Just do it. In the kingdom of God, you got a gift. Just do it. We spend so much time worrying about will I do it right? Will it be what will people think of me? Oh, forget it. Just do it. Just do it. Step out. Believe God. You know, in addition to all those distinctly spiritual gifts that God gives, there's a lot of other gifts. Romans 12:7-8 says there's serving. What does that mean? Wow. You can serve other people in a whole host of ways. There's teaching, encouraging. Oh, I can't tell you how God has helped me at times with an encouraging word from somebody else. Sometimes it just turns my whole day. And you can turn somebody else's whole day. Giving. You know, everybody's called to give, but some people, God blesses them, they really can give. Leading, leadership, mercy. 1 Corinthians 12 later also talks about the ministry of helps, helping others. Who knows what, maybe that means picking up chairs after a fellowship, or maybe there's the boatload of dishes after something that need to be cleaned up. Helping others, administration, management. Oh, I want to tell you, I am so glad that Jeannie Russo has the gift of administration. She has saved my bacon so many times. Oh, glory to God for people who have an administrative gift. Oh, Curtis Corky's like that too. Amazing. Just has it. This Andy is kind of like, the wheels never stop turning in Andy's brain. Andy's a little low-key about it, but you watch, he's a little calm, but the wheels never stop turning in that head. There's an administrative gift in there. It really is. 1 Peter 4:9 talks about hospitality. Opening your house up. Tom and Judy love inviting people over. We had people in our church in Fredonia where I got saved, Dick and Mary Trank. And you know, all they did was, Sunday afternoon, they just told all us college students, come on over. And somebody had a van, and we jumped in, and we'd all go over there. And all we'd do is sit in their house. We had the best time. I have the most amazing memory of those people. And they fed us. They were wonderful. But they didn't do much more except just be like mom and dad. It was wonderful. What a gift they gave us, and I have never forgotten them. They've gone on to glory now, But what lovely people. And just because they were hospitable. So if you're wondering, God, what do I do? First of all, pray. ask God, maybe you have a pretty good idea what your gifts are. Maybe you're like, I don't know. Pray. Come talk to me. I'll pray with you. Go talk to Tom. It's dangerous to talk to Tom. That's dangerous because they have a saying. Is it a saying at Elam, Judy? They say, Jesus loves you and Tom has a plan for your life. That is true. Maybe you don't want to talk to Tom. If you go and talk to Curtis, he'll grab his paper and he'll write you out a whole plan. Our elder Ray, he's not here today, he'll lay hands on you and he'll begin to counsel you about how you can do. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't the body of Christ just something? Find out what you can do and do it and do it. Do it well. And with that, I'm going to give a little qualifier. Please don't take this in the wrong way. Find out what you can't do and don't do that thing. When we were younger and our income wasn't really that great, I used to try to work on our car and fix things, and my wife finally banned me from fixing the car because I'd try to fix it and it would be worse. One time, and I didn't screw the oil thing back up all the way tight, and my wife banned me from working on the car. Yeah. But, it's important to know what your gifts are and what they are. I never forgot. I had a lady telling me how she had a choir, and she had this one young lady who just was desperate to sing. Anybody can sing and worship God. It doesn't matter what you sound like. You can come and I've had people in the church. Years ago, we had one lady in our church, and she could not carry a tune in a bucket. Oh, and she, when the music started, her face would light up. She would start to rejoice, and she was the life of the church. And she couldn't sing, but it was the joy of the Lord on her face, and she'd sing and dance, and it was just wonderful. It was just wonderful. But I did hear a story of a kind of a lady, and she wanted to be in music ministry, and so she joined the choir. The problem is she couldn't sing. And the choir director said, oh, it's okay. She's giving her best to the Lord. No, she's not. Please, you're not giving your best to the Lord. Go find where your ministry really is. So it's important to know. And some people have had burdens placed on them in areas where it's just, they're trying to be a faithful servant. They're trying to do something that's right, but it's just not the right fit. The fit is important, too. The fit really is important. So seek God. Ask Him. And He's going to, He can help you with all of that. There's a quote by a man named Hunter Thompson. I love, love, love this quote. He was an American journalist and an author. He was not a professing Christian, to my knowledge. And this quote is a little extreme. It absolutely needs some moderation, but this is where my heart is. Hunter Thompson, he says, life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride! Yes, Jesus! Now, there's some moderation to that, of course. We need times of rest. Those of you who were in the ladies' meeting yesterday, I wasn't here to hear it. My wife shared, our sister Wendy shared about, serving, but then having times of rest. Yeah, I get all of that. But you know what? In the kingdom of God, I would much rather burn out than rust out. And if you're here today and you're feeling a little like, yeah, Pastor Dave, but I really am rusting out a little bit. Things don't work the way they used to. You feel a little worn out or discouraged, you're questioning, but you still have breath in you, then you still have purpose. If you have a breath in your body, you still have purpose. That breath of God that's in you, you have life in you. Help somebody. Encourage someone. Share Jesus. Pray heaven down on somebody. There's no limit to how God can use someone, no matter what state or what condition that they're in. And I don't share any of this message to overburden anybody. There's an old saying that says, you know, 10% of the people end up doing 90% of the work. And if you're plugged in and doing a ton already, I'm not telling you do more to work. I'm saying be faithful. Be faithful in the gifts that God's given you. Encourage somebody. Bless them. We have people in the body. When I see them operating in their gifts, if there's somebody in need and Sister Denise Regan hears about it, she's there. She wouldn't tell you, but she'll drive somebody somewhere. She'll bring them food, and the whole time she's serving them, she's praying heaven down on them. You know, Denise, she's like, oh God. If Denise tells you she's going to pray for you, she's going to pray for you. I appreciate that about you. Helps. We had a lady's car out here that wasn't running, and we had a business meeting, and Carl's running around, and I'm like, Carl, we need you for the business meeting. He says, no, I got to go get oil for this car. And off he goes. He takes off to get oil for Jeannie's car so that she can drive home. That's a ministry of helps. Oh, thank you for doing that. Serving one another in the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. I heard about some of the guys that showed up after the ladies' meeting and helped. Thank you, Wayne. I hope I'm not robbing you of your reward in heaven. serving others. Being willing to doing what needs to be done. And then seeking God and saying, Father, how can I skid in broadside in the cloud of smoke? Take the ride and not just... stand on the sidelines. Oh, remember what they said about the apostles? They said, look, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here. Ah! Who were they? They were the smelly fishermen. But they were with Jesus, and then they came in, and they literally turned the world right upside down. So folks, are you willing to help me turn Wellsville upside down? You want to do it? Shall we do it? Shall we reach our area for Jesus? Shall we be a little crazy and do what it takes to reach the people that are there? All those words at the end, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh God, how I want to hear those words. Father, we thank you today that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, every time the devil comes to tell us what a rotten person we are, I pray that you would remind us of these scriptures so that we don't become discouraged, but that we know that we are your precious creation. And yes, sin has corrupted our world. We fight against that sin, and yet we're still that wonderful thing that you have made, and you have put a deposit in us that's able to reach the world. Father, even if it's just the world of our neighbor next door, the people that we serve, the people that we're close to, Father, you know. But God, I pray that you would stir up in the hearts of all of my brothers and sisters and me today, Lord, stir it up in us, the gifts, the calling, the ability, Father, and every one of us is different. Every one of us, you've placed wonderful gifts and talents. The ability to do things. And Lord, if some of those abilities have gotten harder as we've gotten older, that God, we can still pray. We can still encourage. We can still stand in the gap. We can still bring blessing. There is always purpose. Father, help us. Help us to walk in your purpose. Help us to have that zeal in our hearts. That we would give ourselves to the gifting that you had, and that we would be faithful servants and use what you've given us. Help us to use what you've given us, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, someone will be here to pray for you. If you need prayer, please do not leave without coming. Yes, Denise. I do need to make an announcement. There's coffee hour afterwards. Or coffee 15 minutes or coffee half an hour, whatever. I knew that was happening, and I... Yeah, thank you, Denise. If you can stay for a few minutes in fellowship, that would be wonderful. We are going to have coffee and whatever else. God bless you. Thank you. If you're here for prayer, please come. Someone will pray for you. We want to believe. Give us the chance to believe for the wonderful miracle-working power of God in your life. And otherwise, go have some coffee. Thank you, Denise. I didn't mean to embarrass you with that. I hope I didn't embarrass you.